Greetings in the divine love and light of the most radiant one, the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtart Command. This evening, our seminar topic is living from Christ consciousness in everyday life. So let's take a deep breath and ask for the light of the Christ to clear any imbalances in your consciousness, anything that could be lifted now through grace. And ask for the light of your highest divine awareness, that Christ-conscious part of yourself, that anointed one that you are in your true self. Ask that that be activated and quickened as we consider our topic tonight. Take another deep breath and just intend the integration of your highest divine level of consciousness right now. And take another deep breath and just infuse your whole body, mind, and consciousness with the divine light. Deep breath. And flood it right down into the DNA, into every cell, right into the mitochondria. Every single quark of your being irradiated with the divine Christ that you are. And we ask that only that which is for the highest good take place tonight for each person living and listening and participating. That which is the highest possible level that could be divinely quickened tonight take place. And we ask this in perfect love, keeping in mind the individual contracts that each soul has made with Spirit. And Father, into your hands and into your care and keeping, we commend all things. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. And so we often hear the term Christ consciousness. What comes to your mind when you hear that? I think most often we immediately think of Jesus. We think of a form. We think of a person. We think of an example. But how many of us have awakened to the fact that that Christ consciousness is a state, it's a choice. It's a choice to be conscious light and conscious loving in every situation in which you find yourself. How many of us have actually owned that as a personal commitment and call? We were all divinely designed as the uniquely begotten sons of God, as the living Word incarnate. Jesus, of course, was the pace setter, the way shower, and the perfect representation in time and space of what we're all divinely designed to become and manifest, even to a greater degree, because as initiates of light, we have been progressing for 2,000 years. Jesus is not where he was 2,000 years ago. He has gone into the quantum levels of the potential, which he could only bring in a certain limited form into time and space, because mankind was not ready to hear and embrace of everything that he had to convey. That's why he removed himself physically and bestowed into each one of us who would follow him the living Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit, that it could teach us from within as the inner master and as the truth itself. For he realized that as long as there was an outer form, we were going to get caught up in the form and miss the essence which is indwelling. That is the big, big shift that we need to make now in our approach to God, is to step from the attachment to outer form and formula, and to redirect ourselves into that active presence and movement of an ever-expanding divine awareness that is the anointing of direct revelation. The Christ means the anointed one, the messianic action of ever-expanding grace. It is that which transcends the law and the limitations that come under the law of the fallen worlds and world systems into the transcendental opportunity now being extended to go beyond the definitions of form limitation in the lower dimensions. We are being invited to go as a vanguard of new emerging awareness, untouched by the momentums of the previous cycle and age. It requires our shifting our energy in ways that cause us to step apart from the familiar and the formalized approaches of every system that has been exercised on the planet up until now. This is a walk of direct revelation where you really can't look to any outer anything, which I call outsourcing. You can't outsource anymore. You have to find that point of divine luminosity that is uniquely your own, and your own unique way of approaching and embracing and dancing with that. Each person is divinely encoded to activate a different nuance of the living light and the living word and the living love. Each one of us is a unique statement that God is making of light, of the living light, the living word, the living sound, the living emanation of that which is supremely empowered. The divine authorization and empowerment is what we call the anointing. But the Christ consciousness is such that we must be in that state of divine harmony, one accord and balance, in order for that whole spirit to reside and manifest through us. In other words, all the bumps and jumps and blocks that we have created against our call to love unreservedly and unconditionally, all those things that we have positioned as a defense against the truth that we are the love of God, all of that has to somehow be faced and dealt with and brought into personal accountability. And we must assume responsibility and deal with it. And that is what's happening across the planet today. Everyone, it seems, is being called to face the things that they have created, allowed, invited, and somehow lent energy to cause it to be what it is in the world. The world as it is our collective choice in the exercising consciousness and our energy directives, our non-directives, I should say. So Christ consciousness is the vibration of living from our loving, our true self, all of the time, regardless of circumstances or the details of any relationship. So you could call it living consistently in a harmonious relationship with yourself, first of all. Got to make peace with yourself. and your creator. And as a result of that well-being within your own levels of self-acceptance and self-validation and self-respect, that automatically spills out to goodwill to mankind. So everything starts with your own relationship to yourself. And if you don't like yourself, it's because you don't really know yourself. Because your true self is perfect, pure, whole, holy, ever one with God, and divine in every way. But the fiction, the storyline, it's been built up, predicated on the belief that you're separate and somehow not divine. That is the thought form that we call the ego identity or sense of self that is dissolved as you activate and bring into every cell of your being this divine Christ light, and you welcome it. You call it into yourself. You evoke it. And you flood your levels with that light. Doesn't have to be a big deal. I've taught very simple techniques. Deep breath, intend, flood. Just that simple. Irradiate yourself. All of your levels. And push to the periphery of your awareness, any imbalanced energy, and see it just dissolve like little pups, you know, little soap bubbles popping at the periphery of your radiance. You know, it's easy enough to shine away the darkness. You just bring the light into a room. So think of it that way. You're bringing the light into the household of your consciousness, the room in which you dwell, your living room. And simply flood it with light. You don't have to process the darkness. You don't have to do anything with the darkness except realize that the light has come. The darkness is simply an area that you were not aware of. Just like when you turn on the light in the room, you can be aware of what's there. So one of the first things that happens in the flooding of Christ consciousness into you is that all the things are revealed that are in your household of consciousness. And anything that is left less than the loving and the joy and the wholeness is something that you need to forgive and release. And you don't forgive it as if it were real. You forgive yourself for judging yourself for something that never was. For every judgment you place against yourself or another involves something that in highest truth never was and never could be. I know it's a different way of interpreting forgiveness, isn't it? To forgive something that never truly in highest truth ever happened. But that is what you're called to do, because everything that's true and real doesn't make sense to the lower ego mind. It goes completely contrary to the way the ego sees the world, because the ego is always in attack mode. It's always exercising againstness. That's why we call againstness the cult of the ego. It's always in opposition to that which is. What is that which is? That which is eternal love. And that is who you are, that is what you are, and that is what is happening behind the ego's smoke screen and window display of grievance. All of the window display that we have in the outer world is predicated on grievance. Where there is warring and disparity, mainly between thought forms and ideologies and concepts and belief systems. In fact, it's been said by Sai Baba that the Armageddon, the Kurukshetra, as it was called in ancient Vedic times, the battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil today in this world is being waged in the hearts and minds of humanity. It's that warring in the mind, which then affects and infects the heart with hatred and hatred, and closes us to the higher awareness that we call the Christ consciousness or the anointed state of wholeness and divine harmonization. So grievance will not pass that threshold into the next dimension. You can only have a grievance against yourself that you project outwardly on another. You only have karma with yourself. You only have issues with yourself. And everything that you see without simply mirrors your own inner state. In fact, Sai Baba said that when the inside is good, then you will only see the good in the outer world. So that's your reference point. What are you seeing when you look out through those frontal orifices that are the very openings into your inner self, i.e., your eyes? What eyes are you looking at and through? Do you have divine sight? Are you seeing through the eyes of the Master? If so, you're going to be looking upon this entire world with great, great compassion. With great, great compassion and also great faith. Because you know that ultimately everyone is a divine incarnation that will awaken and find itself within the heart of the all that is, where it's always been. It's just that the consciousness took a little, let's say, field trip into the worlds of duality and polarity and the false self, the ego self, which again is the form that fear and separation takes in the consciousness. You go looking for it and it doesn't really have a form. That's because it doesn't really exist. It's an interpretation and it's an attitude of error. So, Christ consciousness is a very practical place to live from. And don't get hung up on the word, because you could call it the Buddha consciousness, the Krishna consciousness, the mystical traveler consciousness, the Sai Baba consciousness, or simply unconditional loving, or the unified field. Because they all basically are very similar frequencies. But it is a vibrational energetic of pure, unconditional, agape loving. Now, many people have the belief that somehow this inner transformation is going to happen like presto changeo, and suddenly we go from being selfish and snarky humans to ascended masters without any personal effort on our part. And there's that human tendency to simply go along with the consensus reality and media hyperbole without exercising, you know, any personal responsibility or conscious awareness at all. People tend to imitate the prevailing social and cultural norms and customs. And what that means really is that you're going to sleep and going about your life completely unconscious. So what it really means to be a light bearer is that you are a person who has made a commitment to live from Christ consciousness. And moreover, you have made a choice to take personal responsibility and authority over what you say, what you think, and put out there energetically. So you are aware that you are the energy signature that you are putting out or expressing at any given moment, and that you are held responsible for clearing any unbalanced expression that you have birthed from yourself. You know, seers can actually see when you're not in your true self. My granddaughter, Krista, when she was, oh gosh, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, she used to come up and say to me, she'd say, "Mata, that person over there is not themselves. They have this dark cloud all around them." And my co-commander that would travel with me, Solario, was a healer, and she used to do energy clearing on people. And Krista would watch Solario working, and she'd say, "Now when Solario moves her hands like that over that person, she makes all that dark energy go away. And then they come back in their true self again." So the ego self, according to the Course in Miracles, is like a little dark cloud that floats around the periphery of our radiance and takes the physical form as its house. So the ego self is always very attached to body consciousness and to security, sensation, and power, which have to do with the physical realm and dimension, and have to do with perpetrating life in its most densified, solidified, governed under the law manifestation. So the ego holds sway down here as long as we're bound by attachment to physicality, to maintaining separation. And as long as an individual being has a proclivity and preference to live that way, they will keep re-embodying on third density, earth-like worlds where they can continue that patterning. So there is a level of spiritual maturation that is in evidence, that is evidenced and in evidence in those beings who are, let's say, marked, bear the mark of the Christ, and will therefore go forth into this new energy overlay or dispensation that we call the fifth dimensional new earth vibration. In fact, many have already made that crossover. And you are the ones that we've often spoken of as being in the world, but not of the world. But this takes a very conscious choice on your part. You can't ride in on default or on the coattails of anyone else. This is calling you to a level which, if you're not in that vibration, would be a living hell for you if you couldn't hold that high energy of unconditional love. It would just fry you like a crispy critter if you went into or were allowed to go into a realm of a higher vibrational state of love without the ability to hold and host that higher frequency. In fact, one of the things that happens when a higher vibration comes into a person that is not accustomed to it is that it makes them fidgety, antsy, uncomfortable. They'll feel too hot. They'll feel actually a burning. It actually burns. I think that's where the belief in purgatory and hellfire came in, is because that lower nature actually feels a fiery burning when it comes into contact with a higher divine energy that it's not accustomed to. It makes the electrons of that particular energetic field burn and resonate at too high rate of vibration. So it's a process of acclimating oneself to living and operating and functioning ever more consciously in your higher state of consciousness. Now, the Master Jesus has given I think, a very beautiful daily approach in the Course in Miracles, because it gives you something to do every single day in which the Holy Spirit gradually brings a transformation into the inner levels of your awareness and your understanding. It's a way that you can consciously cooperate and coordinate your daily activity with a very specific correction in how you see things, which is done just as you read the daily lesson and try to remember the seed thought for the day as best you can. You quickly realize you can't do it perfectly, and so you let go that illusion, and you do it the best you can, knowing that your intention has already completed the course. It's one of those things where it's completed, but you don't know it until you've moved through it as a process. So really, the whole spiritual path that we're on is one of rediscovering what's always been true about us, but that somehow we have gotten mired in the belief that we're separate from it, and therefore lack it in some way. So when I speak about entering this new dimension through direct divine realization, that's what we're speaking of. But we also, at a certain stage of our development, need a certain track that leads us sequentially in the mental and emotional positioning of ourselves each day, so that our inner intention aligns each day with what we have set before us, which is to consciously live in the choice for love every moment, every situation, every circumstance in which we find ourselves. We make the conscious choice to be the love and the light in that particular place that we find ourselves. And there's no exceptions. You are always on call 24/7 as a bearer of light. There's no time off. And when you catch the knack of it, it's as easy as breathing in and breathing out. It's not a difficult thing to live in the higher consciousness. I think what's really, really, really hard is to try to hunker down in a mean-spirited ego form when you're designed to be unlimited glory, unlimited freedom, unlimited divine creative expression. Gosh, that must be the most difficult thing we've ever undertaken, is to quench and quell that magnificence and confine it to this body and this particular social mass consciousness of need and lack and greed and avarice and fighting. In fact, the inability to express the higher divine nature is actually the result of the amount of accumulated negativity that has been carried over from previous times. So that negativity now has come and sits upon our plate for us to take responsibility for, to make amends for, to bring into balance now and today, so that we can pass on into the higher divine dimensions. And yes, you can give it to the Lord. You can give it to Jesus. But you must also turn from it and keep choosing to step into the way of loving. You know, don't just turn it over to the Lord and then forget about it and go back to the way that you've always lived. You have to turn from. You have to make some effort to walk in a new way. According to the Course in Miracles, there's only two emotions, love or fear. Love is real and eternal, and fear is a false and temporary form of spiritual amnesia. And so the spiritual path is simply awakening to who and what we've always been. So Christ consciousness and the exercising of it in your daily life requires your choosing the most loving approach that you possibly can in any situation in which you find yourself, regardless of the circumstances or the person or the scenario that's unfolding. And when you do that, when you make that choice, you step from the karmic law and activate grace. And that's what's called soul transcendence. You're actually shifting above the snares of the karmic law. And when you live in love, much is forgiven. In fact, once you've learned the lesson of love, which is really the only lesson to be learned here on this planet, on this in this body, actually, the rest of the need for karmic unfoldment is wiped clean. Your slate is wiped clean. Through grace, the atonement then takes place in your life when you choose to follow the Christ. And that's when you abide in Christ, that Christ abides in you. You live in that state. And when you step out of that state, you remember that you've chosen and received the atonement, that the atoning blood has washed you white as snow, and that the righteousness of Christ is now your own righteousness. And you, again, choose to imitate the Christ. I remember when that book was written, oh gosh, a long time ago, I forget exactly when, by Thomas A. Kempis. He was called a heretic because he wrote the book Imitation of the Christ. It's like, how dare you imitate the Christ? You lowly sinner, you. Well, we've come away from that from that point of view now, but there is still a religious kind of spirit that wants to say, oh no, Jesus was the only Son of God. Jesus was it, and we're not. And we could never be like Jesus. I remember Krista also when she was coming home one time we had her in Catholic, private Catholic school, and she said, announced as she walked in, she said, there's only one perfect woman in the whole world. I looked at her and she said, yes, Mary. Only Mary was perfect. There's only one perfect man in the whole world. I said, well, who's that? Jesus. So Jesus and Mary are the only two perfect people in the whole world. And she marched out of the room. Well, it's interesting because she comes in on a numerical path of perfection. And so she's always finding herself extremely disappointed because what she really sees in the world is the appearance of imperfection. And that's where we have to train ourselves to look with the master's eyes through the illusion, through the Maya, through the smokescreen of the ego, to see the only begotten Son of God, which is you and me and everyone. And that ego facade is like a Halloween costume. Underneath all of that gore and whatever you put on for Halloween is a beautiful little child. And likewise, when all that stuff is wiped off, you could put the most heinous murderer side by side with the most glorious saint. And in the soul body, you could not tell them apart. Everyone is a divine replica of the living Christ. And so it's important to own your truth and not to buy into your temporary fiction and your point of misidentifying self. Always see yourself through the eyes of love, of Christ. So, you yourself, by your choice, in any given moment, either transcend the law through grace, or you become mired down in and under the karmic law. Now, the karmic law is impersonal and automatic, and is simply part of the natural law of cause and effect, which governs all life in the lower worlds. And these would be the worlds that are designed for soul testing and soul perfectioning and soul development. And as I use the word soul here, I'm talking about the individual personality. and their free will, their mind, their emotions, and their physical expression. Sometimes people use the word soul, but they're actually meaning the word atma or spirit. So sometimes I shift back and forth, and I apologize when I don't clarify that. So karma is not God punishing you. That's a religious concept. It is you meeting the conditions that will that you've set in motion that will eventually teach you to always choose the loving. You know, you'll get tired of beating yourself up by your poor choices and not exercising loving to the point that you'll eventually course correct. So when you live from your lower self, your ego, you come under the law of reciprocity, cause and effect, or karma. And the way to transcend karma is to live from your Christ consciousness, which is to consistently choose the loving action. In fact, you can ask yourself and remind yourself, what would love do now? And do that. What would love do now? What's the most loving thing I could possibly choose to do now? I used to have one of those little things sticking on my dashboard. So as long as you identify with being the doer, the ego doer, the lower self doer in the world, then you're a captive of the law of karma and reincarnation. Because what you send forth energetically, you then have to rebalance in some way and make restitution in some way for your imbalances. And that's an endless process. I mean, you know, eventually, I suppose, you'll learn not to do that. But there is a higher way that was brought onto the planet by Jesus the Christ when he brought remission and absolution and dissolving and erasing of all the previous karmic debts so that we could step free through his atoning work on the cross. And that's where the approach that Jesus brought in 2,000 years ago was a stitch in time that saves nine, so to speak. That is a bridging from law to grace, simply through his perfect work on the cross, which the way it works in the collective consciousness of the sonship is that when one person does it, the transfer value is for everyone, so that we don't all have to be crucified on the cross and resurrect our bodies from the dead like Jesus did. We can partake of that action by receiving it as a gift of grace. That's why each embodiment of divinity has a very special gift to give us. Everyone gave a gift, and Jesus came to bridge us from death to immortal life, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil back to the tree of life, to make atonement for the collective karma through his own body so that we could step free through grace, and to make it possible for us to return to the highest divine realms in this very lifetime itself. But it requires a real conscious commitment to following him, obeying him, imitating him, walking in his footsteps, and relying upon him 100% and his completed work on the cross on your behalf. Again, no sleeping at the switch. It's always a conscious choice. Every single instant is a conscious choice. And it's something you keep working. You reach into that God part of yourself, and you keep getting involved in that. You keep working in that. You keep reframing your sense of self in terms of your divinity, in terms of what you are forever. And you use whatever works for you. If you use the Bible, then really get into the Gospel of John, which reveals the divinity of Christ. And exactly that Christ self that is revealed through Jesus is the same that you can own as your own Christ self, because they're not different. They're not separate. Only in the appearance of time do they seem to be separate. But in truth, the action that we saw manifested through Jesus of Nazareth and the action that we see manifesting through each one of the awakened ones that you are, that may be listening tonight, is the same action. It is one of a conscious choice for living in complete, unconditional, loving relationship with all life. Now, that doesn't always look like warm fuzzies. For example, Jesus was very firm and stern when he had to confront things that were blatant violations and errors. When he cleansed the temple, for example, when he saw them making merchandise out of his Father's house of prayer. But you'll notice whenever he was confronted by someone who was trying to make an argument and was insincere in their approach to him, he was silent. You never heard him defending himself, ever, because truth needs no defense. And he was silent more than he was verbal when he was being confronted by the world and the authorities of the world. He called the religious people of the time exactly what they were: hypocrites, play actors. And in terms of the government, he said, "Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and unto God what belongs to God." So he recognized the need for obeying the given laws of the land. He didn't come up and confront the governmental leadership of that time, but neither did he compromise the truth of who he was either. He told the leaders, quite frankly, "I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world," because they were afraid he was going to usurp their thrones of power. So likewise, while we have to obey the laws of our given countries, or else, you know, risk going to prison, which who wants to do that? Nevertheless, we don't compromise the truth of who we are and the integrity of being true to ourselves. And many are the stories of those who were in the Holocaust or who were in prison, and they maintained their Christ consciousness and were able to bring a transformation to many, many other prisoners, or were able to survive in the case of the Holocaust. Because instead of living in venom and hatred, they lived in love and compassion. And that fed them and sustained their lives and enabled them to survive. So you're actually fed and nourished by your higher consciousness. Your health becomes stronger. Your longevity, your radiance, your usefulness is increased. In other words, light reveals luminosity and vitality and beauty through every cell of your being. So it's a practical prophylactic. Do you know a positive vibration very rarely ever picks up germs and sickness? Sometimes your energy gets down and you may pick up something, or you may be clearing something through the body. But in terms of, for example, flus and colds, very seldom will you ever get a flu or a cold if you're not in a state of emotional agitation, worry, fear, and concern. Because those two ailments actually are caused by imbalances in the emotional body. They're actually caused by astral imbalance. So it's, again, a prophylactic and a health measure to stay centered and cleared and balanced. And remember, I've shown you now last week and this week how you simply ask for the light. Simply ask for the Christ light to clear and release any energy that you don't have to carry. And do that every time you feel yourself getting gunked up or you've empathed or picked up energy. And again, you're going to feel a heaviness or a pain or a sickness in your tongue. And just ask that be cleared through grace. And take a deep breath and receive it into you. And release it. And then ask to be filled, surrounded, and protected by the divine Christ light and presence. That only what's for your highest good takes place. And when you find yourself in a situation and you don't know what to do, or you need some help, just say, I'd like the light here for the highest good, please. Why do we have to ask if God is God? Because you're given free will, and you're given a mouth and a conscious self to ask. And you're given just enough life force to keep you alive, and everything else operates on automatic, according to the natural laws, until you consciously ask the Christ or the Lord, God Almighty, to be your master and your way shower and your guide. And when you place yourself in that divine line of association and relationship, then you shift to a different dynamic. And then, yes, much is given you through grace. But still, your sovereign free will is respected. So again, you need to ask. I would like this. I ask for this. And Jesus said that when you abide in him and his word abides in you, that you can ask anything you will of the Father in his name, and it will be given to you. So that means you're living in his word, you're to the best of your ability, listening to your inner guidance and obeying. And his word is coming alive in you in the form of revelation. You're beginning to remember who you are more consistently. You're coming awake as the Christ that you are within you. And when you live in that state, whatsoever you ask of the Father in his name, in the name of Jesus, again, that's a vibration, it's given to you. But, you know, for every promise that is in the Bible, there's a stipulation. You do this, and you will have that. So as long as you are in the world, there are certain levels that need to be observed in your protocol of how you manage yourself. And you need to also be aware that when you live 100% in yielded surrender to the Lord, then the Lord will assume the full burden of your welfare. But you can't really expect that if you're not living at that level of yieldedness and complete surrender and reliance on the Lord. So in the world tells you, you know, that God helps those who help themselves. And that is not in the scriptures. That has never been in the Bible. And really, the truth of it is that God helps those who are completely reliant upon him. But if you look at most people, very few people are at that level of devotion. Very few. You'll see them in India more than you will here. Because here we're in the human potential movement of where we're taught to be accountable and responsible and you know, to take control of our situation and our life and to set, you know, steps for our goal and what all, you know, all that stuff. But those are all teachings for the lower self, for the lower levels, for the human levels. These seminars that we're doing here each week are for the initiates. They're for those people who are active in living a life that is consciously initiating itself into deeper awareness of its own divinity. You're constantly initiating a movement of spiritual inner awareness to a new level of understanding how you exercise your energies and the effects that you attract and magnetize by your choice of what you are expressing. And so you learn where to place energy and where to not place energy. This is your principle. Whatever you place energy of agreement with, you will fortify in your own experience. So discern before you get involved with something, even in passing an opinion or a comment, even in those little things, even in your conversations on a telephone or in an email or on your websites or on your Facebook or your Twitters. Is what you are aligning with consistent with what you want to receive as an energy into your life? Do you want more of that? Because what you engage with in agreement, you are fortifying and increasing in your life. In fact, the very faults you see in another person, you are increasing in yourself. So be aware of the power you have when you choose association, when you lend fuel to a particular topic, when you come into agreement with some statement or presentation. Be aware that you are creating more of that in the world and in your life. And is that something you want? You know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So practicing Christ consciousness means active, ongoing awareness of whether or not you're coming into alignment with that living love. Is what you're coming into agreement with Christ consciousness? Is it living love? Is it the light in manifestation? Is it increasing the divinity and the goodness and the grace in this world? Or is it fortifying the dying and obsolete hate-based world of the ego? The ego is always exercising hatred and vengeance that it disguises behind that smile of self-righteousness, that saccharine sweetness. But there's no truth to it. It is an act. It's a hypocrisy. So we need to dive into that inner core essence of the nature and get a flavor of your truth. What is your divine love nature? What is your unique approach in your loving? Some people are very quiet. They're very inner. They're not particularly, should we say, extroverted. Other people are very much the friendly extrovert in the world. That has nothing to do with Christ consciousness. Sri Aurobindo never even left a room for 40 years. I think once a week the door was open so people could walk by and receive his darshan. But he was radiating Christ consciousness throughout the entire universe from that tiny room in Auroville. And he and his divine complement, sweet mother, Mother Mira, were doing extensive research into the science of consciousness transmutation of the death resident in cells from the fall, and how to release those encodements of the fallen world system into the radiant light of immortal life. They were great scientists of consciousness. They never, you know, he never left his tiny room for 40 years. And I think she didn't leave Auroville, the little city that they founded in South India. Sai Baba, too, he lived in that tiny little village of Puttaparthi, stayed there all the time, and lived in a little tiny room up until the time that he moved into the Purnachandra Auditorium. So it doesn't mean that you have to be out in the world to affect the world. You can sit in a wheelchair in a convalescent home and affect the entire cosmos with the power of your divinity. But it's a conscious looking around you and seeing, okay, how can I make the place that I'm at filled with more love, filled with greater light, filled with more sweetness? And then you just radiate it through your thoughts, through your intention, and through your willingness to be the source through which it flows. That's all you have to do. Any place, any time, you look around and you make the place better. It's amazing how the influence of one positive light field, one positive aura, can transform a home, can transform a neighborhood, an area, a prison, a job, wherever. You are on Earth assignment to do just that. You import God's kingdom, God's love, and God's light wherever you are. That is your call. That is your commission. That is your divine assignment. It's nothing else but that. You can call it whatever you want and create whatever adornment you want around that, but bare bones, that's what you do. You live your life. You get involved with what's going on in your life and around the people around you, and you make it better. You bring in greater, greater, greater light and loving and well-being so that everyone that touches to your life form feels better for having done so. And even if you're silent in a conversation where you're mainly listening, they feel better when they get off the phone or they leave your presence, because all the time they were talking, you were a safe field of loving light through which they could regain their balance. And that's the best way we can serve sometimes, is helping people regain their balance. So move through all your experiences in life with an attitude of goodwill towards all. And apply this to the inner realms that you move through also. And use empathy and compassion and forgiveness as the very keynotes of your behavior. And as you do this, you will start to awaken and activate and energize your Christ consciousness until it begins to be the totality of the energy from which you operate at all times. And your challenge is to keep working that, because it is an eternal process. There isn't an ultimate goal where you can say, I've arrived, that's it, eureka. No, there's always a next step. When you become a personal Christ, you'll become a planetary Christ. And from planetary, you'll become a systemic Christ. And then you'll become a universal Christ. And then you'll become a galactic Christ. And then you'll become a cosmic Christ. Then you'll become a logoic Christ. You got it? It's eternally expanding divine awareness. And that is who and what you are. And it's the most glorious romance and adventure that you'll ever embark upon. So have at it and enjoy it and make conscious choices for the loving, and you will be in that Christ consciousness. So let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.